Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Question Reality with Priscilla Leona, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Hello, and welcome to the Question Reality Radio Show. I'm Priscilla Leona, producer and host of this show, and we are coming to you live from Los Angeles, California. And for 13 years, we have been providing. Now, this show is for you if you're questioning your career reality and thinking about pursuing a career in show business, or if you're already working in the entertainment industry and you just are interested in some tips on how to elevate your career status. Now, the guests on our show include Emmy winners, Grammy winners, Tony Award winners, reality TV stars, and we have working professionals, which include producers and directors and casting directors and agents, talent managers, screenwriters, PR agents, publicists, actors, comedians, singers, novelists, script supervisors. We have stunt people, some of my favorites. You know, I like a hot stunt man. We have celebrity makeup artists, entertainment lawyers, and just the list goes on and on and on. If they're working in the entertainment industry, we're going to have them on this show. Now, if you missed any of our shows, here are three ways that you can listen to past shows. Number one, free mobile app from the App Store, Google Play Store. We have an archive page, which you can listen to any of our shows directly from the website that you're listening to us on right now, which is latalkradio.com. And you just look for the show title, which is Question Reality, under the Channel 1 tab. Or you can look for my name, Priscilla Leona, under the Our Host tab. We're also on iTunes, Google Play Store, Stitcher.com under the podcast section. And we kindly ask that you please, 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 please. I think that was a song one day. Please, please. Oh, that was a Beatles song. Please, please me like I do you. Well, you know what? That's very apropos because I'm going to be giving you lots of pleasure today with our guests. So we say, please subscribe to our podcast via the Apple Podcast. So go there and give us a little thumb, finger, whatever they're asking for. Finally, that's Justin in the background clearing his throat because he's getting ready. I know you can hear him go, well, he's ready because he's going to be doing a lot of talking. So I forgot to ask him to put the mute button on, people. That's my fault. Hold on, Justin. Hold on. Finally, if you want to be booked on our show or refer someone to be a guest, to promote themselves, showcase their projects or their products, and help listeners by providing career advice, go to our official website. Now, focus. This is going to be detailed information, everyone. Our official website is called QuestionRealityRadioShow.com. Again, QuestionRealityRadioShow.com. Not the website that you're listening to us on now, which is obviously LATalkRadio.com. This is the website where we actually air the show. So again, go to QuestionRealityRadioShow.com, and you can also see our annual guest schedule. So you might want to go there and take a peek at who the upcoming guests are and check out their sites. Say you're an aspiring stuntman. We've had lots of stunt people on, and they're giving tips, advice, and resource information. Or if you want to become a celebrity fashion designer, if you want to be a publicist, whatever you want, it's all on that website. So you can go and listen to specifically the area that you're interested in. And the way you submit to be booked on our show is you just click the contact link. It's really, really easy and short. We just need your name, your email, your title, and the website, and that's it. You will be submitted for consideration. That's it. Now, on with the exciting part of the show, as if it wasn't super exciting listening to the show introduction, right? So exciting. We have a very, very, very handsome man. Now, everybody who knows me knows I love a handsome man. My husband, for the past, how long have we been married? Oh, my God, 24 years. He says, oh, I'm just so over it. He used to get jealous in the beginning of the relationship. Now he's like, oh, my God, you love good-looking men. I'm dealing with it. Go ahead, call them all good-looking. Well, we have a handsome little guy on the show today. He is represented first, I want to get this out, Michael Stover, who I love and adore. This man, I love him. He is with MTS Management, MTS Management Group. If you want to be repped by a fantastic management company, you want to be repped by Michael Stover. MTSManagementGroup.com. Go check him out. He's also the owner of MTS Records, Artist Manager of the Year, Nashville Universe Artist of the Year. You go and check him out, and I'm telling you, if you want to make it in the biz, you want Michael Stover repping you, just telling you. Now, I just want to tell you that the contest of the giveaway gift from the celebrity fashion designer, Bernie Martin, it ended last week, and we chose a winner to get a shirt designed by Bernie Martin. And if you want to go to his website, again, he's a celebrity fashion designer. He's designed for some of the top celebrities. His name is Bernie Martin, and he is on CatouWear.com, and we'll be announcing the winner in March, probably before the end of March. Okay. All right. Let's get back to it. He's here. He's hot. He's sexy. He's repping the country music world. His name is Justin Patterson. God, don't you love my tacky little applause? I don't care. People love that thing. Justin Patterson is the co-founder of six-time Arkansas CMA nominee folk Americana singer-songwriter duo, that's a mouthful, called Ten Penny Gypsy. I love that title. I'm going to find out how they came up with that title. If I forget that, I'm going to be so bummed. I got to find out. I love it. The other half of the duo is Laura Lynn Danley. And both of them are from Arkansas, and they had been writing and performing separately as solo artists for years before they decided to form Ten Penny Gypsy in 2017. And that decision, it changed their fortunes immediately, and it just put their musical careers into a new and exciting realm of a sharpshooter path and trajectory to the start. In 2018, their self-titled debut album, Ten Penny Gypsy, was nominated for Album of the Year at the Arkansas Country Music Awards. And the group garnered additional Arkansas CMA nominations for Americana Artist of the Year in 2018, 19, and 21, and also for Vocal Group of the Year in 2018 and 2019. And Ten Penny Gypsy just continued to build on that success with the 2020 release of their second full album, Fugitive Heart. Again, a great title. You know me. You know I love titles. I'm so into the selective genius that is the title of things. I just have never, ever been able to get over a good title. Now, Fugitive Heart is a collection of original songs produced by the renowned musical instrumentalist Anthony Crawford. And hopefully you know that name, but if you don't, we're going to find out who he is. In addition, the album prominently features the talent of two-time Arkansas CMA nominee Buddy Case, who is Guitarist of the Year. And if you want to know what Fugitive Heart is about, just kind of a couple words, it's an eclectic, upbeat album. And it combines Americana and country and blues sounds. And he's going to tell us what it's about, but basically it thematically explores like the uncertainties of separation, which we've certainly are still experiencing from COVID. And he's going to tell us all about that. But without further ado, let's welcome Justin Patterson. Hey!
I just don't know what to say about that, Priscilla. I am so honored to talk to you. I apologize for being such a ham in the opening. You had to hear me clear my throat. Everybody has to hear everything I do. So I apologize for that. But
luckily, it wasn't any other bodily releases. I forgot to tell you that we were being recorded. So that's my fault. You're fantastic. No, we all do it, right? But thank you so much. First of all, listen, I want to know, I'm so bummed that Laura Lynn Danley couldn't be with us today. Where is that girl?
She is just down the coast from you in Carlsbad, California.
What is she? Does she live there or is she visiting?
No, she is on vacation with a songwriter friend of hers named Rena Wren, and I am actually going out there this Saturday to join them, and I'm really looking forward to it. We love that part of the country.
We had the radio station is not, I wish that it would have been like 2 years ago. Then we could have had you come in the radio station, which is obviously the most fun when you can come in. But we're going to make it fun today anyway, telephone style. So I
sure, absolutely.
Justin, so, wow, six-time Arkansas CMA nominee folk Americana duo. You guys are living your best lives right now, right?
Well, we really are, and it's just we are so grateful for the way that everything has happened, and I'm sure that you and I are going to cover this in the next 30 or 45 minutes or so. And it is just so neat to be able to take your songs, especially, you know, I'm very much a songwriter. So to have those songs take shape and to have them reach a broader audience than they ever have before has just been tremendously gratifying for us over this past year, especially.
Yeah, of course, but people are going to want to know, Justin, how does one become a six-time Arkansas CMA nominee? I mean, how do you do it? That's not just something you say, you wake up and you say, oh, I'm going to be a six-time Arkansas CMA. A lot of hard work and dedication goes into it. What's the actual process that you guys went through to even be considered for your first nomination?
Well, I think that, you know, songwriting has always been our passion. So, you know, if you're going to get the attention of anything like that, I believe the first thing that has to happen is you have to have great songs. I mean, they can't be tricked up. You know, people really respect a great song. And then what took us a long time, Priscilla, to learn is you got to have some help, because the thing that turned it around for us was once we got our songs into the hands of a man by the name of Anthony Crawford, everything really started to take shape. And we didn't know, at some points in our career, we weren't really sure who the people were that we needed to get the songs to. And he took the songs and he molded them and he shaped them. And in 2017, we released our debut album, and it was just really, really tremendous. And that was what first got the attention of people like the Arkansas CMA, and we were very fortunate to have that album nominated for Album of the Year straight out of the gate in 2018. So you have to have good songs, and you have to know what to do with them. And that's sometimes a very hard lesson for people to learn.
That is true. But before we get on, because we're going to talk about Mr. Anthony Crawford in a second, but before I forget, Justin, I absolutely love the name of your duo. I have to know, what is the origin of the name Tenpenny Gypsy?
Well, I'm really sorry that Laura is not here to talk about this, because Laura is such the shining light. She is the one that reaches out with her personality, and she just grabs our fans. I mean, they are attracted to Laura because she's just a shining light. And we were tossing around some names for our band, and she kind of came up with the idea that you know, when we're out on the road or we are traveling, we are always amazed by the kindness of complete strangers. And that gets so covered up in today's world. You know, if somebody was just dropped into this world, you know, they would think that mankind hated each other. But we know that there is so much kindness and compassion out there amongst strangers. And so we came up with the idea that as gypsies out there traveling around, if we were ever down to our last 10 pennies, we knew that there would be somebody, some stranger, that would show us kindness and compassion. And that's kind of how we want the world to see us, because we feel very treated by the world in that way.
Got it. I love that. I think there should be a movie, Tenpenny Gypsy. I'm going to think about that. I might have to steal that name. I'm going to have to, because I produce films. And I said, woo, I would love to make a short film with that title. Now, what would it be about? But that's a different subject to talk about. We might have to showcase your music in the film. So let's talk about making your album, Fugitive Heart. Again, another title that I love. Your relationship with the producer. I understand that it's Anthony Crawford, who, if people don't know, he was Neil Young's former, he was in the band, and that must be super exciting. How did you meet him? How did you decide to work together? What was the inspiration for the album?
Well, you know, it was just really, you know, one of the best times of our lives when we met Anthony Crawford, because I was aware, kind of as a music historian, of Anthony Crawford. If you go back all the way to the first concert that was broadcast all around the world, which was Live Aid, which you may remember from 1985, Anthony Crawford was in Neil Young's band, the International Harvesters, which played the Philadelphia Veterans Stadium stage on that day. He was a young guy, but he was with Neil Young's International Harvesters, the Shocking Pinks. He toured with Steve Winwood. He toured with Dwight Yoakam. And he is just a battle-tested, world-class multi-instrumentalist. And he has since relocated to the Gulf Coast with his beautiful wife, Savannah. And they have a duo, an Americano duo called Sugarcane Jane. And we happened to be playing at the same music festival in Gulf Shores, Alabama in 2016. And that's how we met them. We had been trying to do some recording here in Arkansas, which was to hopefully become our first album. And we just weren't pleased with the direction that was taking. And Laura got our demo of songs we had worked on here into Anthony and Savannah's hands. And I really didn't think anything was going to happen. And it was a great day when Anthony called me and said, man, these songs are great. How would you like to come to my studio and record an album?
Wow. Woo. I bet you were all over yourself. Woo. That was lovely.
It was hard. It was hard to remain composed as I am now.
I bet. Now, the appeal of Fugitive Heart is broad. So it has spawned a number one song on the iTunes country sales chart in, of all places, one of my favorite places, South Africa. I believe one of the songs, I think that particular number one song was called Your True You. And then there was a video for Lonesome No More that has medaled at numerous international film festivals. So that is so impressive. But then you're the, okay, so who did somebody else write the songs or da 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 da? But I understand that you're the songwriter of seven of the album tracks, right? You and Laura both write together, but on this particular album, Fugitive Heart, you're the songwriter of seven of the album tracks. And I want to take a quote that you said. You said, "There is no doubt these songs reflect the mood of 2020 because of the pandemic. People have been separated from their jobs, their loved ones, and everything else. Yet there is an underlying optimism on this album that is very relatable to listeners." Now, did you and Laura decide to write an album just because of what was going on with this pandemic, or was this in the making and it just, you just ended it in 2020 and it just worked out?
Yeah, Priscilla, it was just a twist of fate. We knew we had a great batch of songs after our debut album that we wanted to include in what would become Fugitive Heart. And we realized after the album was recorded that all of these songs had a common thread that ran through them. And that was a kind of separation. If you look at the album cover, okay, the album cover, which was a stark contrast to our debut album cover, which was Laura and I kissing across a kitchen table, the Fugitive Heart album cover, we are socially distanced on far ends of the park bench. And that was not by design. This happened before the pandemic hit. We were actually wanting to release Fugitive Heart on April 1st of 2020, and we're preparing to do that. And then everything shut down. But as we went back and looked at the songs, we realized that we had an album, a collection of songs that was just perfect as far as a relatable theme of separation that people had to be feeling. And, you know, like I said earlier, it's still a very upbeat and optimistic album, but still I think that common thread was very relatable to people.
Now, I know that you both had solo careers before getting together. So I'm coming to the ultimate question I want to ask, but why did you both decide to start working together as a duo? Is it honestly, are you guys a couple? Give us the scoop. Come on.
That is how it started. And we will always be a couple. It's very hard to define at times, but I love Laura very much. And we actually met at a songwriter festival back several years ago. And we were both performing at this songwriters festival, and I knew she was a beautiful woman. I mean, I knew from afar that she was a beautiful woman. And she came through a potluck line, you know, because there was some complimentary food there. Uh-huh. She came through the line with a plate of food, and she sat down in this lawn chair out on this deck, and it collapsed with her. And food, Priscilla, went everywhere. And it had to have been one of the most embarrassing moments for her, but I've never seen anybody make a mess of themselves and be so beautiful. And I was attracted to her from that moment on.
Oh, that's so romantic. Well, I've taken down at least 12 to 15 chairs in my career, but beautiful on it. So she really rocked the term beautiful. Well, that is, so it was love at first sight. And that is a great story. So how did you go over to her? What did you do?
Well, I didn't want to embarrass her at that moment. Yep. But then I knew that she was singing with somebody else. She was singing with a friend of hers named Rena Wren. She was singing harmony. So I went up to Rena and told Rena that on this particular song of hers, I had worked up a third harmony part and would sure love to to sing some harmony. And she goes, oh, you can share a microphone with Laura Lynn tonight. And so we ended up sharing a microphone together, which Laura, I understand in hindsight, was not happy about at all. And it just kind of developed from there. Priscilla,
oh,
I don't know.
Justin, do you realize that you just told us a story that sounds like it should be a movie? I mean, doesn't that sound like a rom-com, like a total romantic movie?
Absolutely. And it has been.
How long you guys been together?
I guess going on 10 or 11 years now.
Oh, isn't that? Well, you know what? Tell us the secret. So speaking of the work couple, what are a couple things that vocalists and musicians can do to be able to work together and guarantee a great gig or a long-lasting relationship? Because it's hard for a regular couple with different occupations to stay together. What are your secrets? What are your secrets?
Well, I think trust is the biggest one because, you know, when you have two creative people, you know, I mean, things that you create are like your babies, right? I mean, you are so protective of your creative ideas. So when it comes time, and we normally write songs separately, and then we bring them to each other, and we try to decide what will fit into the Ten Penny Gypsy sound. So that takes a lot of trust because, well, I mean, it's just kind of obvious. I mean, you know, I think I've got this song and it's great. And, you know, that does go on between people who aren't couples. But I think it's even more kind of dangerous when you are a couple. So you really have to trust the other person and their strengths. You have to understand their strengths and their weaknesses. You have to have a mutual understanding of that. And I think that's the key, is you just got to have an unbelievable amount of trust in that other person.
Now, since you both write, what is your process for deciding which songs are going to go on the album? Do you have a test market or family and friends who give you honest feedback? Or if you both like run out of, okay, so you say, I want 10 songs, that's it. And you got 12 songs, or 11 songs, how do you decide which songs to go on the album?
Well, you know, her and I have kind of kept it in-house as far as the decisions like that. You know, there are obviously things we have bounced off our renowned producer, Anthony Crawford, that we spoke about. But I think we just have a sense ourselves of what the sound is that we want people to hear. You know, that is the Ten Penny Gypsy sound. And I believe because we don't go outside for advice on what that sound should be, we don't do that. I think it has created kind of a unique sound because, you know, she has kind of her unique songwriting influences, you know, that kind of make their way into the song she writes today. And I do as well. And I think the fact that we've just kept it amongst ourselves has allowed us to develop a unique sound that is really hard to kind of classify.
Yeah. I mean, I got to say, I didn't want to bring this up yet, but we talked about it briefly. I loved, loved, loved that video that you did. And listen, you guys, you got to check out 10 Penny Gypsy on YouTube. And specifically, what song was I seeing? The one with that old car, the Rolls Royce, I think it was from the 20s. Was that Fugitive Heart or was that?
No, that is... that is Making Headway, and that is track number one. And that's kind of a song of optimism. You know, we kind of talked about, you know, the theme that runs through this album is of separation. But part of the reason that the album is still an upbeat affair is songs like Making Headway that start off the album. It's a song about personal progress. You know, it's we may be walking into headwinds. And man, we have been walking into headwinds as humankind in 2020 and 2021. But even though we're walking into those headwinds, we're still always making headway. And we will, as long as we're here on this earth. And So yeah, I think it's a very infectious number and a great video. And the old car really helped.
Where did you get that car? I'm like, oh, because I'm a lover of old cars. I don't think I've liked any car past 1949. But I just said, ooh, I know Justin's driving slow because if you put a scratch on that, that's going to cost you some money. You're going to have to file bankruptcy. You ruined that damn car. It was a rental or is that yours?
It was a friend of mine who has a collection, and it was a 1939 LaSalle. And we just had, I mean, it just made that video pop, you know, as you know, without question. And we are so grateful to my friend Rob Haney, who loaned that car to us. And he was the chauffeur in the video as well.
I love that video. Oh my gosh, you guys got to check it out. It's a great video. And Laura really, really knows how to perform in a music video. And she just looks so natural and enthusiastic and engaged. And, you know, I direct music videos, so I know how hard it is after like the 50th take to be able to bring that energy. So I really, really had to give her some props for being able to, like, it was a, I did the first take, right? She really rocked the Casbah on that video. So you guys check that out. But hey, we got to play your song. First of all, are two tracks missing from Fugitive Heart? I didn't see track 3 and 9. You don't know. You can't remember what track 3 and 9. Never mind. Forget that question. I just said, what the hell happened to track 3 and 9? Let's just focus on Fugitive Heart. Okay, so we're about to play that song, but I just want to know what kind of connection do you have this song? First of all, did you write it or Laura? And what's the song about? We're about to listen to it, so we want the audience to have the backstory on it.
Okay, so this is Making Headway, right?
No, Fugitive Heart.
Fugitive Heart is the title cut. And Fugitive Heart is kind of the song that kind of tied the whole album together. I was very proud of the fact that some people that reviewed this album said that this song, Fugitive Heart, checked all the boxes for a perfect title cut for an album, because it was the song that tied all the rest of them kind of together. And so that was very, very gratifying to hear that. And it's a song about emotional distance. And I think the lyrics are just very, very profound. I am very proud of them. I was the one that wrote the song. And I believe that it's Laura and myself's probably best duet vocal that we've ever done on a track. And so we are very, very proud of the song.
Yeah, I listened to all the songs and I said, well, he told me I'm going to pick one of the part for me, but I love the video. I don't know if you guys have a Fugitive Heart video, if you're coming out with one, but I really just love this song. So let's play it. And then when we come back, we can talk more about it. So without further ado, let's hear the song Fugitive Heart from the Ten Penny Gypsy 2020 full length album. Self-entitled. Fugitive Heart, self-entitled. Yeah, let's listen.
The deed is done, the time has come, I must be on my way. I've got a smoking gun and echoes I've left along love's lost highway. I have a fugitive heart, never had a home, fugitive heart, forever bound to roam. Mm-hmm. must make amends, defend the reckless ways I let you down. The wind, spend my finest days far from this town. For the fugitive heart, it never had a home. Fugitive heart, forever bound to roam. Safe hiding place. Never will it end this whole lonesome race and tiresome pace. Still you follow close, though I have run forever and then a day. Must make the most of moonlight that's left along love's dark highway. I have a fugitive heart. It never had a home. Fugitive heart, forever bound to roam. I got a fugitive heart. Like a rolling stone, fugitive heart, forever bound to roam.
You guys do. It's so nice. And the guitar playing, woo, really great. Boy, is there no end to your talents, Justin?
I hope not, but thank you so much for the compliment, Priscilla. That is one of my very favorite songs that I have ever written, and we were so blessed to have such interplay with, Anthony Crawford's instrumentals. And of course we had two-time Arkansas CMA nominee Buddy Case on guitar as well for this record. So yeah, just a great sound. It's a great sounding record sonically as well. And we have Anthony Crawford to thank for that.
Wow. So I hear guitar. Is there, there's bass. What are all the instruments and who played what on this particular song?
I believe on that song, I think on that song there was my acoustic guitar and Anthony Crawford's acoustic guitar, and Anthony Crawford also played every single other instrument that you hear on there, the bass, the piano, the keyboard, the drums. He played everything.
Wow.
Just a fantastic, magical experience to watch it happen in the studio, I can tell you that.
Oh my gosh, and I love that. When one, I mean, for so many reasons that one person can play so many instruments, that in itself is so impressive, but it really cuts down on things that could happen in the studio. You know, we all hear about the bands that fight artistically and argue, and they all have their opinion. And I watch this station called excuse me, reels, and I watch about all the bands and they fight in the studio and everybody wants, you know, a little bit more time and they don't want this instrument. So I thought, why can't it just be one person who plays all the instruments, learn a bunch of instruments? You're going to cut down on time. You're going to cut down on money. You're going to cut down on arguments. Just find one person who can play all the damn instruments, right?
We know where you can find one. It's Admiral Bean, B-E-A-N Studio in Loxley, Alabama. That's where their home studio is. Oh. And Anthony Crawford is just, he's just a genius. He really is.
Well, I would certainly want one person to play all the instruments rather than having a whole bunch of people arguing and fighting and trying to pick. I watch it. I say, how the hell could anybody be in a band? I've never been in one. As I told you, I can't even sing in tune. My husband says that I sing in the devil's tritone. I don't know what the hell that means, but I don't think it's a good thing. Anyway, there's a lot. I don't know. He's like, ah. And I thought that was a damn compliment, Justin. I thought, wow, I'm so hot. I'm fiery hot with the vocals, singing in the devil, because you're the devil, the hot. Yeah. Nope. Found out what it was. And I was like, we're getting divorced. Can't be insulting my ass like that. Right. So listen, exciting, exciting stuff coming up. Tell me all about it. Upcoming Arkansas CMA Awards again. What's it for?
Well, we owe so much to the Arkansas CMA because, you know, our sound, obviously, you know, that's Arkansas, you know, Country Music Association, and our sound is not pure country. And so we were so grateful that when we came out with our debut album that really can't be categorized as far as what it sounded like, they put it in the Americana category, and they gave us a place at their table. With three nominations that year and two nominations in 2019. And this year we are nominated again for Americana Artist of the Year. And the final voting is going on right now. And we'll find out on June 7th if we won the category or not. But we just have tremendous things to say about the Arkansas CMA and the recognition that they have given us.
Well, you know, I want to talk about that real quick, because everybody thinks that they have to fly off to Nashville to become a country music star or to do their best work or live their best life going to Nashville. And it's obviously like Los Angeles and New York. It must be so crowded with, you know, aspiring stars and wannabes, et cetera, et cetera. And I don't feel, because with technology today, Justin, you can make anything you want anywhere in the world. So my question to you is to give advice to aspiring country music artists. How important is it for a country music artist to be based in Nashville? I mean, I don't think you have to. I think you could be anywhere, as you've proven. But why don't you tell us your advice to people who think they have to move to Nashville?
Sure. I think that if you wanted to go to Nashville, it would obviously provide you an immediate kind of measuring stick. Because, I mean, there, like you said, there are so many people there. You know, there was one guy that some guy quoted a long time ago, said there are 10,000 songwriters and 5,000 guitar players in Nashville, and there's one fiddle player. but they that would be a good measuring stick. But I think the most important thing that a person has the most success at their endeavors, you know, when they're authentic. You know, if you try to be something you're not, you can go to Nashville, but you probably get exposed fairly easily. And so when we release our music into the world, you know, we try not to worry about the labels and expectations that people put on our work. We just kind of write and perform in the best way that we were gifted to do. And another thing I would say is trust your instincts, because, you know, I had people telling me for the longest time about what great songs I had, and I don't know if I really believed it myself. But, you know, both Laura and I, starting out in this business, you know, sometimes fear of not being good enough can be a very paralyzing thing. And people might have heard our music a lot sooner had we trusted our instincts and taken a few more risks. But we think we're kind of on to something now, and we feel very good having come through the other side of this, you know, with people, a broad audience being able to hear our music.
Now, if you had to do it all over again, I don't know if you and Laura ever talked about this, but if you guys ever were thinking in this light and you said, well, if we had to do it all over again, what would you change, if anything, or what advice would you give yourself?
I think probably you can't do it alone, you know, because I especially was so protective of my songs, and I realized after a while that I don't know who I was protecting them from, because nobody was hearing them. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I tend to be a control freak of all things that have to do with Tenpenny Gypsy. But in today's ever-changing environment of music promotion, you just can't do that. You have to have some help. And I would like to kind of bounce back to what you said about Michael Stover. Michael Stover has just been tremendous for us. I know you have a great respect for him as well. And all those things that you kind of read off that this album has done, Fugitive Heart has done, with the number one song in South Africa and so forth, you know, we have to hand that to Michael Stover. He had a large hand in that, and we appreciate him very much. So, yeah, you can't do it by yourself. I would have gone and sought some advice from people earlier than I did.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you know, Justin, having a digital social media footprint is absolutely vital in promoting and maintaining and advancing your career in the field these days. I mean, it went from just business cards being enough and demo tapes, and now it's like you have to get out there. You have to do the social media promoting and marketing. And I have found that a lot of people, especially if they're starting their careers a little late or starting to get the recognition a little late, they have a really hard time with this whole creating the digital social media footprint. How has that been for you, you know, segueing into that world and having to do the promoting and marketing and targeting your audience? And what advice would you give to people who are, you know, a little older, who have to like drip into this world of social media?
Well, that's a great point, Priscilla. I mean, it's because it changes so fast. It has changed so fast. And just because technology has evolved so much that you can make your own record at home, you still have to cut through the same barriers that you did before. I think that's a huge misconception, is that just because you can do something, you know, like cut a song at home and send it to somebody via email, that sounds like it's easier for people to hear your music, but some of the same barriers still exist out there. So yeah, just get some help. I mean, you know, especially we found this out during the pandemic as well. You know, we felt that we weren't really ahead of the curve as far as social media goes to begin with, but we've come a long way. But, you know, we had to learn how to do a virtual concert when the pandemic hit. Mm-hmm. And we had some young, very tech-savvy people here in our music community in Central Arkansas that reached out and allowed us to continue and taught us a lot about that. So, yeah, if you're older, if you're late to the game is changing so fast, go to the people on the front lines. Go to the young people, the tech-savvy people, and just say, hey, can you help us out? We need to learn this.
That's right. Because if you don't, yeah, as you said, don't covet your music. I mean, if somebody's going to steal your shit, they're going to steal your shit, Justin. Plagiarism happens every second in the world. I mean, they change a couple words and that's it. It's their song. So are you going to worry about that and not get your stuff out there? As long as you go through, you know, getting your stuff trademarked or copywritten and doing that process, which in itself is a whole thing. But now they're going to be making it so easy. My husband was telling me about this new way that they're going to be marketing. So you remember how old school you got to send all your stuff to the Library of Congress to get your stuff trademarked or copyrighted?
Sure.
Well, now there's a whole new way that they're going to be doing it. And I forgot what he told me. It's like copy packets. I don't know what he's talking about. But anyway, that's going to make it even easier for people. They don't have to do anything. You just do whatever that little packet thing is. I don't know what it is. I think I probably should have written that down. That would have been probably good for you to find out about too, to pass that information on. But we are so proud of you and Laura for getting out there, rocking the Casbah, doing your thing, and being in Arkansas just goes to prove you don't need to go to Nashville. Save your money, because it's expensive in Nashville. Not as much as living in LA or New York, but Nashville, because they wanted to be country music stars and they said it was so expensive. So save your money, put it towards making an album, or put it towards hiring, you know, a PR person or a publicist who is going to get your stuff out there. As long as you have a quality product like Justin and Laura, Tenpenny Gypsy, that's what you need. Have the quality product and then go find someone to go out in the world and do their little octopus fingers and get your stuff out there. Right, Justin?
That is correct. That is correct. I really wish, Priscilla, that Laura had been here to talk to you, because I can tell that you two, from an enthusiasm standpoint, are on the same wavelength. You all would have had a hell of a chat. I can tell you that.
Well, let me tell you, if I'm ever down old Arkansas way, I'm coming for some food. I'm coming for some grub. And then we're all going to have a laugh when I sit my fat ass in a chair and fall with my food all over me. I'm going to go, all right, all right, Laura did it. It's my turn. Well, thank you so much, Justin. I adore you. And maybe you guys can come back for your next album to promote and Laura can be with you and we can have a good little old Arkansas festival here on the line.
Absolutely. That would be wonderful. You just let us know, Priscilla, and we'll do it.
Well, you feel free to contact me anytime. Now let's get those websites out there so we can go and let's go buy. You're on iTunes. I imagine all your stuff is on iTunes. So if somebody wants to buy your stuff, they can go to iTunes along with all the other social media platforms, right?
Yes. All the streaming platforms, both of our albums are on. You can also purchase merchandise and our albums and download at tenpennygypsy.com. You can also, we have a pretty extensive media section there where you can read about, reviews and everything that people are saying about Tenpenny Gypsy and Fugitive Heart. And tenpennygypsy.com, or all of the streaming platforms and all the social media outlets as well.
Yes, and you're also on, go and give him a little thumb, a little finger. He's on Facebook. They're on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, under Tenpenny Gypsy. I wanted to get in real quick how much I appreciate your website. It is hooked up. It is extremely professional. I own a company that designs websites, so that's why I want to focus on how you got to also have your shit together like they do, because they have one consistently locked in the name at tenpennygypsy.com. You cannot be getting cute and having one name for one website and another name for another social. Nobody will find you. Don't be ridiculous thinking people are going to be able to find you if you got to keep it consistent. And I would say if you want to put your website together and have it look professional, go to tenpennygypsy.com, because they have absolutely the perfect website. Everything is covered and it is kept up to date, which is very important. And they've got everything they need. When you go to an artist's website, you don't want to have to fiddle around looking for the music. Where's the video? I can't tell you how, Justin, I go through that so much. When people want to book their clients on my show and they send me the website, and sometimes I got to spend 5-10 minutes and then go on Google and try to come up, because they're very important people. So if you want to put a website together, do it like Justin and Laura did. 10pennygypsy.com, and you set it up the way they've got it, because they're set up for success, which is very important. So there you go. I'm like, serious, Justin. Boy, I loved your website. Loved it. Absolutely. So whoever does your website does a great job.
I appreciate that very much. It's, you know, it's neat because, you know, it's kind of like a yearbook for us. You know, it's like your high school yearbook. Right. You know, you put all those things in an organized way so your fans can discover you, so your fans can love you, and so you can go back and look and say, wow, look at all the neat things that we have done.
That's
and,
right.
Yeah, it's been neat. I appreciate you saying that. Thank you very much.
I appreciate you doing it. All right, everybody, say goodbye to your fans, Justin.
Thank you so much for listening to us. We sure do appreciate it. I have enjoyed the conversation, Priscilla. I want to do it again. Let's do it.
Oh, we're going to do it, Justin. You and Laura, three musketeers. Come back and see us, as they said on Hee Haw, I think. Come back and see us sometime, you hear? I can't do a country accent to save my life. All right, everybody. That's Justin from 10 Penny Gypsy. Thank you for tuning in. We'll see you next week on Question Reality. Bye!
You're listening to Question Reality with Priscilla Leona, right here on LA Talk Radio.